Hi, this is Jeannie Lee, and the podcast is Black Eagle Soaring. Today's topic is going to be on being fearless. To fear less. You have it in you. You have it in you to be courageous. You just got to pull it out. And it takes time. It takes practice. It takes knowledge of yourself, being self-aware, being self-assured, knowing your self-worth, and gaining the confidence that you deserve. And how do we go about that? How do you become fearless? There has been many times in my life that I would fear something in my mind first before it actually occurred. I'll give you an example. Public speaking. I, as a child, was extremely shy. That I didn't talk for basically 4 years, especially around adults. Because back in that time, it was the saying that children were seen and not heard, so I took it personally. So when I would go over to my grandparents' house with my grandfather, I would not talk. You would see me. You would see me playing. You would see me doing the usual things that children, you know, do, being active and everything. But they did not hear my voice. My interpreter was my brother, and he's like 4 years older than me. So I would tap him, and his name is Granville. And I would tap Granville, and I would whisper, you know, I want some ice cream, or I want a piece of cake, or, you know, something like that. And my brother would say, Jeannie wants some cake. Jeannie wants some ice cream. And he would talk for me. Now, on our own, like when I would go back home and get around my mom and my brother and my sister, I would be a chatterbox. I would talk, you know. And I had the fear of people hearing my voice because, if you notice, my voice is deep. You know, well, now people say it's soothing or it's a radio voice or it sounds, you know, sexy or something like that. But as a child, you know, I'm like 4 years old and this deep woman's voice come out of me. And a lot of adults, their reactions were, well, I didn't expect that out of a, you know, her being so young or so little or things like that. So I shut down. Okay. Now, in my current state, as far as, you know, getting older and everything, I started coming out of my shell and things like that. So when I got to college, for prerequisite, I had to take a college course in public speaking. That was one of my worst fears. You know, we had a class of 30 students, and you had to get up and you had to say presentation, like well planned and written out and everything like that. And it's called a persuasive presentation. And so my presentation was on fear. And I talked about, you know, getting the courage to stand up and speak out. And, you know, I did a good job at the public speaking aspect of it. But before I went into that classroom, I, you know, was practicing with my roommate and everything the day before. And, you know, she woke me up the next morning. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. It was an 8 o'clock class, so early. And she said, okay, Jeannie, you know, you ready? You got this. And I get out the bed. I'm getting ready. And I'm like, yeah, I got this. And I'm talking to myself, yeah, I got this. And when it came to it and we were about to open the door, I just say, I don't got it. I don't have it. I don't got this. And I jump in the bed and pull the covers over my head. And my roommate is just laughing. She's hilariously laughing, just hysterically, just going off, just, you know. And she said, but we did this. We practiced this. We were ready yesterday. What happened? So as she's walking with me to the classroom, you know, I started thinking, there's no way out. I'm going to have to do this or, you know, get an E. You know, and I'm like, I'm not about to be paying for any college classes and get a low grade. So I went into the class. I was, you know, standing strong and everything. And I, you know, each person was going and their names were being called up. And they were just as nervous as I was. And they got called up and they're, you know, saying their presentations and everything. And they go back and sit down. And then it was my turn. And I had to say my presentation. And I mean, you talk about butterflies. My head started spinning and I was getting that anxiety. You know, okay, you know, like I, as if I was a child again. They're going to tease me or they're going to say something about my voice. And I got up there and I started talking, did the introduction, you know, went through everything. And I didn't have any index cards. And but I knew my stuff. I knew my information. And when I, you know, went over the speech as far as fear and not being afraid of things, even in the aspect of doing public speaking and certain things you're just going to have to jump into and learn as you go. And when I was done with my presentation, my instructor, he said, "Wow." He said, "That was such a wonderful presentation." He said, "You were so calm and you were so relaxed and you knew what you were talking about. And young lady, you just get an A+. And I'm like, wow. You know, in my head, I'm thinking, whoa. Okay, now this is sounding great. And he said, "You know, I'm so impressed with you. And my wife, we were trying to think of a name for my daughter." And he said, "You know, she's pregnant. My wife is pregnant." And he said, "Because my real name is Elgina." And he said, "I'm going to name my daughter after you. I am so impressed with you, young lady." And I mean, I was just really blown over because I'm thinking, you know, not too long ago, I jumped in the bed and put the cover over my head. I wasn't going to do the presentation. But it also taught me, you never know who you're going to encourage by coming up out of the anxiety, coming up out of the fear, coming out of what you think other people are going to think about you. And just being yourself. Because I found out that when I'm free, I free other people. I'll say it again. When I'm free, I free other people. Now you say it for yourself. When I'm free, I free other people. When you're free, you free other people. Because someone somewhere is watching your life. And they're looking at you and they're not looking at the anxiety. They're not looking at the depression. They're not looking at the fear that you have or you don't like how your hair is done. They're looking at the whole person in some cases. And they're thinking, wow, I wish I was her. Or wow, I wish I was them. They don't know what pain you go through. They don't. But that pain is something that you're going to work on behind the stage. You get what I'm saying? What you are standing out in this world for is not to become like everyone else, but to be your authentic self. And it's going to take everything, your fears, your disappointments, the things that you grew up and had to deal with. Those things are going to have to either strengthen you when you stand on them, like I do, and build them up as a foundation, or you're going to let them take you down and you're going to, you know, fall. And even if you fall, make sure you look up because there's a chance that you can get up. And I want you to get this, that you fear less, but there's a point you're going to get fearless. Put it together. Fear less. Then there's some strength that you're going to adopt along the way and adapt to yourself and apply it, where you become fearless. I'll give you another example. I just gave you one about public speaking. Okay. This is another example. And I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then. I had an absolute fear of pit bulls, dogs. Even seeing them on TV, I had the worst thing of, oh, wow, if I saw one and it got loose, I would be jumping over a fence. I would be, you know, and I'm playing this type of image in my head. And one day, you know, an actual pit bull ran after me. And I'm running down the street in heels, trying to get to work. Then another day, another pit bull decided to chase me. And this time, this one caught up to me. And what pit bulls do is they will knock you in the back of your leg. They're testing you to see if you're going to be afraid of them or not. How do I know this? Because after several events of being chased by pit bulls, I decided to stop, face my fear. And I told this one pit bull, as he's looking at me and I'm looking at him, I said, "I'm not running anymore. I'm not running from you. I'm not running from other pit bulls." I might have looked like I was so crazy, but I got tired. I got so, how can you say it? Courageous in the midst of my fear. Courageous in the midst of my fear. Even though I knew that he had the potential to maul me. He's sitting back looking at me, and you know how dogs do with trying to understand something. He's looking at me and he's turning his head like, lady, you are supposed to be running, or you supposed to, you know, scream or something. And I looked at him and I, you know, turn, you know, I'm walking and I'm not going to turn my back. I was, you know, I'm walking kind of sideways going down the street, and the dog kept following me. And I said, okay, now what's going to happen here? And what he did was he touched my heart. So as I'm walking with him, and now he's on my side, like, you know, I'm his owner or something. And I just stopped and I said, hey, dog, I said, you want to go home with me? And he just, like, as if he just knew, tagged, his tail started wagging, and he just had this light in his eyes because he was really beat up. I believe he was a bait dog. And I ended up taking him home. And he was my first rescue dog, and I named him Free. And Free was a beige, huge, tall pit bull mix, like I think golden retriever and pit bull. And he looked like a hyena with the black spots. He was not the most attractive dog, I will admit that. But loving him up and, you know, having him as a pet and just spending time with him and being sweet to him and just normally just being a good to a dog, good to an animal, you know. And what it ended up happening when we first got him, because my children, you know, were with me when they got a chance to see him, we were in the house, and he just shut down for at least, I would say, 2 weeks. He wouldn't bark. He would have hold his eyes down, cast down to the ground or the floor. His head was down and just slumped over. And even taking him outside, I had to retrain him. And that's what we have to do with our minds sometimes, folks. We got to retrain our minds because we are good people. The majority of us are. It don't seem like it, but there are still a remnant of us that are just genuinely have big hearts and we're good. You know, so we got to start shining, you know, and start bringing out our truth, bringing out the fact that we're still here and we're not going anywhere. We're going to still be kind to other people. We're going to still be compassionate. We're not going to let anything destroy our happiness or our courage or our strength. And I want you to understand that, because when you fear, it takes over and dominates every aspect of your life, literally. Having fear is not, it can be both. It can be negative because you're afraid, you know, what others might say or think or what might happen. And then it can be positive because it can keep you on your toes. It keeps you in tune to your environment, you know, whether something or someone's trying to come after you or something like that. You know, you can intuitively figure out that, okay, I'm afraid, why is this, or something like that, and you can be vigilant in the process. But in everyday life, there has to be, and I had to do this personally, there has to be a personal balance in my life. I cannot constantly be running on adrenaline, you know, and trying to survive and surviving, but just existing and not truly loving and living and embracing my life. So what I did, my homework, my first homework assignment for myself, and by the way, I'm going to go back to the pit bulls. I ended up rescuing pit bulls after the point with Free. I literally would see bait dogs that were in fights with other pit bulls. And it's a shame. It's a travesty. It's horrible. And I would take them home, you know, love them up, get them a new collar. The kids would help, you know, me bathing them. They got the life. I mean, really. And we would adopt them out. You know, I had the phone number for Animal Rescue, And I had it on speed dial. And they knew me by name because I was always calling and either reporting that I seen a dog being in an abusive situation or reporting that I wanted them to come pick up a dog that we cleaned up. And it's a no-kill shelter. And they would post the dogs that we, you know, rescued. They would post them online. And it was so beautiful to see them before and then after how, you know, they just grew. You know, and that's what I want to, you know, talk about too. Just the fact of love itself. And I know in the Bible it talks about how this world is growing cold with love and everything like that. But there's still some lights. There's still that remnant that still, you know, we're shining in the midst of darkness. And some of us like me, and I'll, you know, further go on to my testimony at a later podcast, but have learned how to fight in darkness, learn how to shine in darkness. Because if I didn't go through my experiences that I went through, I wouldn't be on this podcast. I wouldn't have the, you know, the courage or the strength or the insight as I have now. You know, you have those cave experiences and you out there by yourself. Oh, you learn how to talk. You learn how to stand up for yourself and advocate for you and everybody else you can find, you know. And it's just wonderful how my life has went into a full circle. So as far as the podcast, Black Eagles, I'm on here for you guys. I've been a social worker for 36 years now. I started when I was 13, and I started so early that I had my mom sign my permit. And she said when I walked in the room, the patients which were challenged mentally, physically challenged clients, everybody was in a wheelchair except for the staff that, you know, we, you know, were coming in walking. But the rest of the clients, they were in wheelchairs. And my mom said when I walked in that room that they were putting their heads up just to see. They, you know, I like she said, and my mom wasn't like a full believer, but she said, Jeannie, when you walked in that room, those people started putting their heads up and looking for you, looking around. She said, I've never seen anything like it. Never. You know, and I didn't realize it at that time, that helping and ministering to and spending time with people, I didn't know that was my gift. I thought, you know, your gift, that's just restricted to being in church where the pastor says something and, you know, you just go along with what is being said from the pulpit. But I've learned, and I believe everyone has a gift. I just also know that so many people have been wounded and abused and mistreated and misused and just you name it, all kinds of wickedness or evil has come against them. And so my podcast is for the wounded. My podcast is for those that lack confidence, you know, that are extremely shy like I was. And even if they're an adult, you know, because even in my adulthood, I was quiet. You know, and I saw a documentary the other day, and they said that when there are children or people who are seen as weak, that other people will go after them, you know, and they will, like, bully them. And even within my personal relationship with my children, I made sure I taught them myself. I'm a single mom, but I made sure that I taught them karate because I got bullied from what the being four years old kindergarten to the sixth grade. And by the time it was sixth grade, I started fighting back. And it wasn't that I was afraid of the person that was bullying me. I was afraid to let my mom down and the teachers down. And I was in that, you know, you got to be a good girl kind of thing. Now, don't get it mixed up. I didn't let them hit me, but their words, you know, are just like someone's hitting you in the head with a hammer or something. I mean, I don't want to be so graphic, but it was like that. It was tough. And so for anybody listening, if you have children in these times, because I'm going to give you all some tips, please put them in a karate class, a self-defense class, some kind of class to where they gain that inner strength and that insight as far as who they are and their potential, you know, to they can be strong. They can just teach a person a lesson. They don't have to try to kill them or anything, but just let them know, I'm not the one to be messed with. I'm not the one you're going to bully, you know. And when I taught my son and daughter, they both did not get bullied in school. My son, he's, you know, his own person. He's quiet, you know, humble, very polite, mannerisms are on point, but he does not get bullied. He's actually the most popular child in the school. You know, he walks with his head up, you know, different things that I've done with him. You have to role play with your children because this world is not kind. Let's face it. And there's been suicides after suicides and children hurting themselves and things like that. And my purpose is to get the word out that there's still people that care. But also we have to put our caring in action. It's not enough for me to just say, oh, that's a shame. You know, I've been in the trenches for years. I've worked with people from every aspect, not just in the hospice. I've worked for people in psychiatric wards. I was setting the captives free. I was helping them. They were coming back to their right minds. They were talking. I'll give you another example. There was I call her Miss White. Her real name's not Miss White, but just for purposes, I'm going to say Miss White. And she was on the wall. This is in the psychiatric ward. And she would just rock back and forth. It looked like a clinic. You know how they try to dress it up. But it still was a mental hospital. And she's rocking back and forth. And then she's like, you know, unkept and things like that. And I would go past her. And I'm, you know, they called me the model social worker. Because the place was so dark. When I say dark, I cannot even really express how dark that place was. And it wasn't just the lights were, you know, dim. It was just the energy was so dark. And I would go in there and I'm dressing up, you know, because just in darkness, I always wear bright colors. I literally will wear a rainbow around me if I have to, because you have to repel that darkness that's surrounding you. You know, it's not enough to say, okay, I'm just going to go in here and do my job and that's it. No, you're dealing with all kinds of spirits in there. You're dealing with all kinds of energy and you have to be prayed up and also shielded. You know, to protect yourself, because you don't want to take those demonic spirits outside that door with you or at home when you get to busting at people and all this kind of things. It's like if anybody knows seen the movie Fallen and how those spirits go from one person to the other, that's how they actually work. They when they go back and forth, transfer onto someone else. And that's how they do it. So you have to be ready. So within this podcast, you're going to hear some insight. You're going to hear some information. You're going to hear some real stories that have happened to myself and other people. Also, you're going to be inspired. Also, you're going to be able to take some nuggets of the information and apply it to your own life. You understand? We're not going to be on a team where we're not winning. We're going to be winning, and we're going to take our lives back and find greatness within ourselves. We're not looking to anyone for no approval, because it's not that kind of party. It's time to find out who you are, purpose of your life, what you're supposed to do in your life, and what you enjoy doing in your life that can make a difference. You know, I have a friend, she can take anything, any material, any beads, and make creations out of this world. She knows how to do it without a problem, but her thing is she doesn't see it herself yet. It has to be a light that comes on, and she can say, oh, I can do this, and I can bless somebody else while getting blessed herself. You know, like me, I love to talk to clients or people on the street that are just out there wandering, or so many people here in the city that I'm in. They, you know, were talking to themselves. I came here 19 years ago. And I would just, you know, ask the Lord, how can I reach them? I mean, because at first I'm, you know, my transportation now is the bus, but I would be in a car and I'm driving past and I'm seeing someone trying to throw the sun or, you know, hollering out loud and things like that. And I said to God, I said, my God, you know, how can I reach them? But at first I was like, look at those, you know, people, you know, they're just walking and talking and it's a shame, you know. And I wasn't judging. I was just thinking, wow, this is not right. But I wasn't doing anything. And when I lost my car, you know, to circumstances beyond my control, I had to go and use the transportation at the transit center that you know, everybody here goes to. And people still walking around talking to themselves. And just, it was horrible. It really was. And that's how my ministry came about. I started talking to people who were talking to themselves. And I just strike up a conversation. And they, one time, and this right here tears me up each and every time. There was a guy, he was in a the bus stop shelter, you know, where they have to keep you out the rain. They have the shelters there. And he's rocking back and forth, and he's talking to himself. And now he could be on another frequency that I don't even know of, you know. But he's going back and forth. And then I said, how can I touch him, God? Because each time, my ministry is so, how do you say it, customized. Because I was out there in the streets. I wasn't always in the church. I was raised in a religious setting, but that wasn't me. You know, I wanted to be free. I wanted to help people. You know, I get sad if I saw a homeless person, want my mom to stop the car so we could feed them. And, you know, that kind of stuff. I've always had a heart for people. And so this guy, he's rocking back and forth. And I'm waving just out of the blue. I just start waving. And I'm waving at him. And he stands up and he looks at me. He comes out and he's peeking around because I'm waiting for the bus on the outside. And he says, you can see me? And I say, yeah, I can see you. And he's like, oh, wow, wow. And in this world, in this society, people have been so neglected and ignored. They don't even think they can be seen. They feel invisible. They feel invisible. And I'm talking from experience, you know, being homeless. I'm talking from experience. You know, you feel invisible. And I didn't dress like I was homeless or you didn't was without. You know, I came in a shelter at one time in my life. It's been several times, but one experience was that all I had was a black short sleeve shirt and black jeans. And it was fall. The snow was on the ground, and the boots that I had, they were like ankle boots, but they were had holes in them. Just one outfit, one, and thank God for the donations. I kid you not. When you send those donations, they help. They help you get a job interview. They helped me, you know, with my self-esteem, with me being motivated to get up. You know, I mean, it was bad, but I went through that dark experience and I came out. Thank you, Lord, like sunshine. You wouldn't even know I went through it, you know. And as I was, you know, saying that we can do better as individuals, as the world, we not only can, but we got to do better. You know, I've personally dedicated my life to helping people. I enjoy people. I love them. Little people, the children, and everything. Every aspect or area of helping. I have been in the schools. I've been in the tutoring. I've been in psychoeducation wards with the teenagers. I've been working with, you know, children and adults. I just love it. And I know that now that's my purpose. I thought it was just the social work aspect, but it's not only that, it's the fact of just everyday living. Because to me, the church is within us. I don't have to go in a building. I've been known to pray for people in a bathroom in the, you know, middle of downtown because there's such a need. Because if we don't reach them, you think it's crazy now? It's going to be worse than Wild Wild West. We're going to be, you know, running from some of everything. And I'm not even exaggerating. So I don't believe that nothing can be done. I always believe in hope. I believe in hope. And that's why I'm on here. You know, maybe something I said can encourage somebody else to live through the next day. Maybe something I said can encourage somebody else to get up out of depression. maybe something I said can give somebody some help for drinking alcohol, and all they know is being high or on some kind of drug, and all they know is trying to escape, and they're gifted, and they're covering up their pain, but don't even realize that they have a purpose. I'm going to say that again. They are covering up their pain, but don't even realize they have a purpose. So we that know that what is going on can be changed. In certain areas, I believe it can be changed. And I always say to myself, well, Jeannie, is it faith or is it foolishness? And sometimes you got to look foolish. Like God said, you know, you look foolish to the wise. And sometimes I believe that I've had to have some foolish experiences because I see things that other people can't. And then I got to share with them what I see, and they don't get it. They might get it a year from now. You see? So it's just a matter of knowing who you are and whose you are. And then there's people that are like, oh, well, I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in God. Okay. Well, and I always tell them, well, you know, you can believe in a dirt speck, but just make sure a dirt speck saves your soul. And they get to laugh, and they're like, oh, Jeannie, you're so funny. And I'm serious, because all this titles and religion and names and things like that, when it really comes down to it, who do you have to go to? You know, you can go to your friend only so long, and the last one standing is you. You know, so then that's where you have to get these life skills. That's where you have to get these being assured of who you are and taking back your life, taking back whoever and whatever stole it from you, and living a life that you can be proud of, you know, that you can look back and say, wow, I did that. I did that. I overcame poverty, overcame my mentality of thinking I'm a thug or thinking that I'm better than the next person or thinking that there's no life without me having to have the latest Gucci or material item. But I came alone. I came alone to receive something that's going to change my life. And I'm going to do another curve on you all. I don't believe that the church building is the church. I believe that we, those that are spiritual, having a human experience, are the church, that God is within us. Now, this is my belief. This is not a come to Jesus moment or anything like that. I'm not trying to sway you one way or the other. I'm just stating my truth and what I've experienced. And y'all, I am so happy. I've never experienced this kind of happiness. I mean, there's joy and then there's straight up happiness. And I'm just so happy. I'm finding myself smiling when I don't even be wanting to. I'll find something, you know, to be happy and thankful about. And it gets to that point. It gets to that point. As far as me being afraid, not anymore. Not anymore. And I'm not even lying to you. Not anymore. I had to take my life back. And if it took going, you know, toe-to-toe with those pit bulls, then so be it. You know, if it takes me stepping in the way of somebody trying to harm somebody, then so be it. Because I really feel like I've had a full life, a really full life. Now, you know, I'm a grandma. I got two grandbabies, two girls. I have a 12-year-old son and a 19-year-old daughter. You know, and I've always wanted to be a mother. I love children. I absolutely love them. And I counseled children from my earliest and youngest client was one. Yep, 1 year old. And the other client that I had was two. And the other one, you know, I did home visits and worked with the child because he was failure to thrive. He wouldn't, you know, his development stages were not up to where they should have been. You know, he wasn't being communicated to. And I had to, you know, I taught the parents how to communicate and stimulate him because they called it like failure to thrive. And we got him, I got him together. I got him together. He was so quiet that his parents would leave him for going on a trip. They were going out of town and they left him. And not only to, when they got to the town, they forgot that they left him because he was so quiet. They had four other children. And he would sit and he would play with like a, for hours, he would play with a fly swatter. So for hours, he's playing with the fly swatter. And they had called me from the school and said they needed a social worker to come and assess him. And I assessed him. And he, like they said, would be in the corner and he's playing with his shirt and he's biting on his shirt and things like that. Not making a sound at all. He wouldn't look at anybody. He had his eyes downcast. He wouldn't speak at all. So I made it my point to help him. And as the class is going on and the kids, they were, you know, they go around him and things like that. And he'd be in his own world. And so one day when I went to talk to his mom and I asked her, I said, which is a very important question, I said, was there anything that happened while you were pregnant carrying him? And she said, yeah. She said, I aborted him. So in my mind, I'm like, you aborted him? And she's like, yeah. And she wasn't going to go into details. And as I sat there, I said, oh, was he a twin? And she's like, yeah, he was a twin. And she said, I did everything in my power not to have him. And so I was like, it clicked. I said, wow. So first of all, he's love deprived. He's not getting the stimulation and bonding with his mother. And she said, and she says, out of all my kids, I have not bonded with him. And he would just sit there like a robot. I said, okay, I got me an assignment to do. So I would go visit the mom and I'm talking to her and things like that. And also when you are in social work and aspects of helping, it's not just the child that you have to work with. You also have to work with the whole family. So they'll be able to know how to raise that child in a healthier, you know, environment and everything, you know. So I have to keep that in mind every time. I'm like, okay, it's the child, but it's also the whole family. So what it ended up happening was I would go to the school and everybody's playing and he would be sitting, you know, in the corner rocking or something like that. It was the saddest sight to see. And I remember I got on the rug with him. And I said, sweetheart, you know, I call him James. And I'm like, James, you got to come out of this, sweetie. I said, you know, it's okay. You're going to be safe, but you got to come up out of this. I said, Miss Jeannie is fighting for you. You know, I said, I know you're in there. So the teacher's doing working at the table station with the kids and they're doing the crayons and things like that. So I got a can of crayons and they're looking at me like, why you need the crayons? And I'm like, this boy's going to talk. That's my faith. Now, either it was foolishness or faith, but I was like, he's going to be talking and he's going to be responding. And so day one, I got the crayon and I'm like, James, you know, what is this? What is this? Like that. And he's not saying anything. He's just looking. Next day, I'm like, James, what color is this? What color is this? Come on now. You got this. What color is this? But he didn't say anything. The third day, I said, what color is this? He said, blue. I said, you talked? I get so excited. I'm like a big kid. I'm like, you just talked? Ah. So the kids got up clapping. The teacher got up clapping. I said, oh, my God, you know, found your voice. And from that point on, you know, I would work with them. And then in my career, I've always had to say my highs and my goodbyes. And at first, it would crush me because I'm like, wow, I got attached to the clients and things like that, you know. And then I said, no, I made a difference in their lives through the grace of God. I made a difference in their lives so they can handle this world now, you know. So that's the type of mentality that I have. So I just wanted to share, you know, some of the stories and my part of who I am and what I'm about and advocating for justice and people being kind to each other. And if I see anything wrong, I'm going to speak on it. And you know what? I'm still that little girl that wouldn't even talk. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, and I kid myself sometimes. I said, maybe I wasn't talking because I was saving myself for this moment in my life. You know, so I thank you all for listening. We're going to have another podcast, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful because we're going to do more aspects of changing ourselves for the better. So whatever area that you want to address, please leave a message. Please let them know on Anchor that you like the podcast, that you are willing to listen to Jeannie Lee and, you know, hear her stories. Now, I got to admit, some of them are, they're crushing. Some of them are, how in the world did you make it through that? Some of them are, wow, that's amazing. But out of all of it, I would say it's insightful. You're going to learn. You're going to have to unlearn some things, and you're just going to grow. And it's nothing wrong with change. And I found this out, it's nothing wrong with growing. You got to be your best self because you got one body and you got one chance to live in this life. And make the best out of it. Make the best out of it. Take care of your health, your mind, your attitude. Some people need attitude adjustments. Beautiful people, just hateful, just mean-spirited. You know, and that's from even the churches on out to the streets. And this is what I was going to finally say. I believe that those that were battered, those that were abused, those that had no voice, and even through childhood they had to survive to get to where they are, and those in the, definitely in the street, they're going to start coming to themselves because this time is now. The awakening is here. The paradigm shift is here. They're going to start waking up and taking their place on this earth. And Satan's going to have hell to pay because these are night fighters. These are the ones that have been through darkness all of their lives. And now they're waking up and saying, wait a minute, you're not going to talk to me like this. Hey, wait a minute, you're not going to treat me like this. I know you didn't just say that. You know, they're waking up to reality as I do have a voice. I can fend for myself. I'm not that name that you called me. I'm a queen. I'm not that name that you said to me in such hate. I'm a king. You know, I'm not going to, God forbid, but kill myself because you don't like me. I like me. No matter of fact, I love me. How about that? You know, so stick in there for the ride. You know, understand that these are some serious times, that a lot of people are saying these are the last days and things like that. But realize that you got a part to play. And as long as we ignore and pretend like things aren't happening, that's when it gets the worst. That's when people really get crazy. You know, let me give you this example before I get off of this podcast, because I'm enjoying myself, y'all. I was on the bus, because I told you all this is my transportation for now. And this guy just comes on and he says, I feel like killing somebody. And I could sit there as a victim. I could sit there looking scared. I could look, you know, like I was talking about, you know, fear and being fearless and being fearless, you know, putting it all together. And I had absolutely no kind of anxiety, worries, or fear at all. Now, this man just threatened the whole bus. And he said it in my face. Like, you know how a person going past and they got to put their face in your face. And I said, cool. You know what? I just strategically took out from my purse my taser and put it on my lap. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready on all levels. And y'all going to learn that. And he came to his right mind. He sat up straight because he saw that taser. You know, sometimes, and I'm not a crazy person, but you have to be crazy for crazy to meet crazy. So crazy or no, crazy can't do you any harm, you know. And I had to go there. I had to go there. And a lot of times, you know, especially when I was walking, men would try to follow me and cars would be circling around and things like that. And I'm not alone, you know, without God and Jesus, my angels and them. But I also believe in protecting myself. You know, like I said, I know both sides. I've been from the streets, went to religious church, and then my older years rebelled against God and went back out in the streets. So I know both sides. You know what I mean? I know how to handle myself. And I thank God for that because I could walk around like I used to with my head down, shoulders shrunken, and being afraid of my shadow. But I refuse to. I refuse to. The devil will not get victory in my life. You know, so it's personal. So if you hear me talking about spiritual warfare and things like that. That's me. That's Jeannie. That's me, because I wasn't taught. I was taught there was an enemy, but we were not taught how to fight the enemy. Now, for those that are interested, I will be doing a podcast on spiritual warfare. I will be giving examples, thorough examples, and also tips in how to fight, and also my personal experiences. My personal experience. And I just want to say, I thank God that I'm here to be able to share. I'm here. He took me through a lot and held me through the nights, but I'm glad, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to talk to you guys. So again, I'm going to close out, but thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, morning, day, whatever time it is. Know that you don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. I've been there. I've been in those midnight hours wondering if I was going to make it to the next day. But I'm here. I'm here. And so are you. And if there's a battle you're going through, or somebody's coming for you or something like that, stand up for the fight. Stand up for the fight. Because the God I serve, I know one thing. He don't let me be alone. I know that. And he doesn't let you, whether you know it or not. He doesn't let you be alone either. So, take courage. Maintain your positivity. Those of you who are walking around with your head down, put your head up. Put your shoulders straight. Walk through this earth like you own it. Walk through this world like you're going for something. Don't give the enemy any type of insight as to what you're about at your lowest moment. You ain't got to fake it, but walk as strong as they do, if not stronger. And I mean that. Okay, this is Jeannie, and I'm signing off. I hope something in this podcast gave you all some insight, some encouragement, some laughter, all of that in a bag of chips, as they used to say. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, night, evening. And even if you're in the midnight hours, know that you will not be in it too long. That this too shall pass. I'll be over here praying for you. So I hope you're on the other side of the world praying for me, or wherever you might be located. Thank you so much. Stay blessed. Bye. Signing out. Black Eagles Soaring. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Jeannie Lee. And the podcast is Black Eagle Soaring. Today's topic is going to be on being fearless. To fear less. You have it in you. You have it in you to be courageous. You just got to pull it out. And it takes time. It takes practice. It takes knowledge of yourself, being self-aware, being self-assured, knowing your self-worth, and gaining the confidence that you deserve. And how do we go about that? How do you become fearless? There has been many times in my life that I would fear something in my mind first before it actually occurred. I'll give you an example. Public speaking. I, as a child, was extremely shy, that I didn't talk for basically 4 years. Especially around adults, because back in that time it was the saying that children were seen and not heard, so I took it personally. So when I would go over to my grandparents' house with my grandfather, I would not talk. You would see me, playing, you would see me doing the usual things that children, you know, do, being active and everything, but they did not hear my voice. My interpreter was my brother, and he's like 4 years older than me. So I would tap him, and his name is Granville. And I would tap Granville, and I would whisper, you know, I want some ice cream, or I want a piece of cake, or, you know, something like that. And my brother would say, Jeannie wants some cake. Jeannie wants some ice cream. And he would talk for me. Now, on our own, like when I would go back home and get around my mom and my brother and my sister. Oh, I would be a chatterbox. I would talk, you know. And I had the fear of people hearing my voice, because if you notice, my voice is deep. You know, well, now people say it's soothing, or it's a radio voice or it sounds, you know, sexy or something like that. But as a child, you know, I'm like 4 years old and this deep woman's voice come out of me. And a lot of adults, their reactions were, well, I didn't expect that out of a, you know, her being so young or so little or things like that. So I shut down. Okay. Now, in my current state, as far as, you know, getting older and everything, I started coming out of my shell and things like that. So when I got to college, for prerequisite, I had to take a college course in public speaking. That was one of my worst fears. You know, we had a class of 30 students, and you had to get up and you had to say presentation, like well planned and written out and everything like that. And it's called a persuasive presentation. And so my presentation was on fear. And I talked about, you know, getting the courage to stand up and speak out. And, you know, I did a good job at the public speaking aspect of it. But before I went into that classroom, I, you know, was practicing with my roommate and everything the day before. And, you know, she woke me up the next morning. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. It was an 8 o'clock class, so early. And she said, okay, Jeannie, you know, you ready? You got this. And I get out the bed. I'm getting ready. And I'm like, yeah, I got this. And I'm talking to myself, yeah, I got this. And when it came to it and we were about to open the door, I just say, I don't got it. I don't have it. I don't got this. And I jump in the bed and pull the covers over my head. And my roommate is just laughing. She's hilariously laughing, just hysterically, just going off, just, you know. And she said, but we did this. We practiced this. We were ready yesterday. What happened? So as she's walking with me to the classroom, you know, I started thinking, there's no way out. I'm going to have to do this or, you know, get an E, you know. And I'm like, I'm not about to be paying for any college classes and get a low grade. So I went into the class. I was, you know, standing strong and everything. And I, you know, each person was going and their names were being called up. And they were just as nervous as I was. And they got called up and they're, you know, saying their presentations and everything. And they go back and sit down. And then it was my turn. And I had to say my presentation. And I mean, you talk about butterflies, my head started spinning and I was getting that anxiety, you know, okay, you know, like as if I was a child again, they're going to tease me or they're going to say something about my voice. And I got up there and I started talking, did the introduction, you know, went through everything. And I didn't have any index cards, but I knew my stuff. I knew my information. And when I, you know, went over the speech as far as, fear and not being afraid of things, and even in the aspect of doing public speaking and certain things you're just going to have to jump into and learn as you go. And when I was done with my presentation, my instructor, he said, wow, he said, that was such a wonderful presentation. He said, you were so calm and you were so relaxed and you knew what you were talking about. And young lady, you just get an A+. And I'm like, wow, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, whoa, okay, now this is sounding great. And he said, you know, I'm so impressed with you. And my wife, we were trying to think of a name for my daughter. And he said, you know, she's pregnant. My wife is pregnant. And he said, because my real name is Elgina. And he said, I'm going to name my daughter after you. I am so impressed with you, young lady. And I mean, I was just really blown over because I'm thinking, you know, not too long ago, I jumped in the bed and put the cover over my head. I wasn't going to do the presentation. But it also taught me, you never know who you're going to encourage by coming up out of the anxiety, coming up out of the fear, coming out of what you think other people are going to think about you, and just being yourself. Because I found out that when I'm free, I free other people. I'll say it again. When I'm free, I free other people. Now, you say it for yourself. When I'm free, I free other people. When you're free, you free other people. Because someone somewhere is watching your life. and they're looking at you, and they're not looking at the anxiety, they're not looking at the depression, they're not looking at the fear that you have, or you don't like how your hair is done. They're looking at the whole person in some cases. And they're thinking, wow, I wish I was her. Or wow, I wish I was them. They don't know what pain you go through. They don't. But that pain is something that you're going to work on behind the stage. You get what I'm saying? What you are standing out in this world for is not to become like everyone else, but to be your authentic self. And it's going to take everything, your fears, your disappointments, the things that you went through and grew up and had to deal with. Those things are going to have to either strengthen you when you stand on them, like I do, and build them up as a foundation, or you're going to let them take you down and you're going to, you know, fall. And even if you fall, make sure you look up, because there's a chance that you can get up. And I want you to get this, that you fear less, but there's a point you're going to get fearless. Put it together. Fear, less, then there's some strength that you're going to adopt along the way and adapt to yourself and apply it, where you become fearless. I'll give you another example. I just gave you one about public speaking. Okay, this is another example. And I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then. I had a absolute fear of pit bulls, dogs. Even seeing them on TV, I had the worst thing of, oh, wow, if I saw one and it got loose, I would be jumping over a fence. I would be, you know, and I'm playing this type of image in my head. And one day, you know, an actual pit bull ran after me. And I'm running down the street in heels, trying to get to work. Then another day, another pit bull decided to chase me. And this time, this one caught up to me. And what pit bulls do is they will knock you in the back of your leg. They're testing you to see if you're going to be afraid of them or not. How do I know this? Because after several events of being chased by pit bulls, I decided to stop. Face my fear. And I told this one pit bull, as he's looking at me and I'm looking at him, I said, I'm not running anymore. I'm not running from you. I'm not running from other pit bulls. I might have looked like I was so crazy, but I got tired. I got so, how can you say it? Courageous in the midst of my fear. Courageous in the midst of my fear. Even though I knew that he had the potential to maul me. He's sitting back looking at me, and you know how dogs do with trying to understand something. He's looking at me, and he's turning his head like, lady, you are supposed to be running, or you're supposed to, you know, scream or something. And I looked at him, and I, you know, I'm walking, and I'm not going to turn my back. I was, you know, I'm walking kind of sideways going down the street, and the dog kept following me. And I said, okay, now what's going to happen here? And what he did was he touched my heart. So as I'm walking with him, and now he's on my side, like, you know, I'm his owner or something. And I just stopped and I said, hey, dog, I said, you want to go home with me? And he just, like, as if he just knew, tagged his tail, started wagging, and he just had this light in his eyes because he was really beat up. I believe he was a bait dog. And I ended up taking him home. And he was my first rescue dog, and I named him Free. And Free was a beige, huge, tall pit bull mix, like I think golden retriever and pit bull. And he looked like a hyena with the black spots. He was not the most attractive dog, I will admit that. But loving him up and, you know, having him as a pet just spending time with him and being sweet to him and just normally just being a good to a dog, good to an animal, you know. And what it ended up happening when we first got him, because my children, you know, were with me when they got a chance to see him. We were in the house And he just shut down for at least, I would say, 2 weeks. He wouldn't bark. He would have hold his eyes down, cast down to the ground or the floor. His head was down and just slumped over. And even taking him outside, I had to retrain him. And that's what we have to do with our minds sometimes, folks. We got to retrain our minds because we are good people. The majority of us are. It don't seem like it, but there are still a remnant of us that are just genuinely have big hearts and we're good, you know. So we got to start shining, you know, and start bringing out our truth, bringing out the fact that we're still here and we're not going anywhere. We're going to still be kind to other people. We're going to still be compassionate. We're not going to let anything destroy our happiness or our courage or our strength. And I want you to understand that, because when you fear, it takes over and dominates every aspect of your life, literally. Having fear is not, it can be both. It can be negative because you're afraid, you know, what others might say or think or what might happen. And then it can be positive because it can keep you on your toes. It keeps you in tune to your environment, you know, whether something or someone's trying to come after you or something like that. You know, you can intuitively figure out that, okay, I'm afraid. Why is this? Or something like that. And you can be vigilant in the process. But in everyday life, there has to be, and I had to do this personally, there has to be a personal balance in my life. I cannot constantly be running on adrenaline, you know, and trying to survive and surviving, but just existing and not truly loving and living and embracing my life. So what I did, my homework, my first homework assignment for myself, and by the way, I'm going to go back to the pit bulls. I ended up rescuing pit bulls after the point with Free. I literally would see bait dogs that were in fights with other pit bulls. And it's a shame. It's a travesty. It's horrible. And I would take them home, you know, love them up, get them a new collar. The kids would help, you know, me bathing them. They got the life. I mean, really. And when we would adopt them out, you know, I had the phone number for rescue, animal rescue, and I had it on speed dial, and they knew me by name because I was always calling and either reporting that I seen a dog being in an abusive situation or reporting that I wanted them to come pick up a dog that we cleaned up. And it's a no-kill shelter. And they would post the dogs that we, you know, rescued. They would post them online. And it was so beautiful to see them before and then after, how, you know, they just grew. You know, and that's what I want to, you know, talk about too. Just the fact of love itself. And I know in the Bible it talks about how this world is growing cold with love and everything like that. But there's still some lights. There's still that remnant that still, you know, we're shining in the midst of darkness. And some of us, like me, and I'll, you know, further go on to my testimony at a later podcast, but have learned how to fight in darkness, learn how to shine in darkness. Because if I didn't go through my experiences that I went through, I wouldn't be on this podcast. I wouldn't have the, you know, the courage or the strength or the insight as I have now. You know, you have those cave experiences and you out there by yourself. Oh, you learn how to talk. You learn how to stand up for yourself and advocate for you and everybody else you can find, you know. And it's just wonderful how my life has went into a full circle. So as far as the podcast, Black Eagles, I'm on here for you guys. I've been a social worker for 36 years now. I started when I was 13. And I started so early that I had my mom sign my permit. And she said when I walked in the room, the patients which were challenged mentally, physically challenged, clients, everybody was in a wheelchair except for the staff that, you know, we, you know, were coming in walking. But the rest of the clients, they were in wheelchairs. And my mom said when I walked in that room, that they were putting their heads up just to see. They, you know, I like she said, and my mom wasn't like a full believer, but she said, Jeannie, when you walked in that room, those people started putting their heads up and looking for you, looking around. She said, I've never seen anything like it. Never. You know, and I didn't realize it at that time, that helping and ministering to and spending time with people, I didn't know that was my gift. I thought, you know, your gift, that's just restricted to being in church where the pastor says something and, you know, you just go along with what is being said from the pulpit. But I've learned, and I believe everyone has a gift. I just also know that so many people have been wounded and abused and mistreated and misused and just, you name it, all kinds of wickedness or evil has come against them. And so my podcast is for the wounded. My podcast is for those that lack confidence, you know, that are extremely shy like I was. And even if they're an adult, you know, because even in my adulthood, I was quiet, you know. And I saw a documentary the other day, and they said that when there are children or people who are seen as weak, that other people will go after them, you know, and they will, like, bully them. And even within my personal relationship with my children, I made sure, I taught them myself, I'm a single mom, but I made sure that I taught them karate, because I got bullied from what, being 4 years old, kindergarten, to the sixth grade. And by the time it was sixth grade, I started fighting back. And it wasn't that I was afraid of the person that was bullying me. I was afraid to let my mom down and the teachers down. And I was in that, you know, you got to be a good girl kind of thing. Now, don't get it mixed up. I didn't let them hit me. But their words, you know, are just like someone's hitting you in the head with a hammer or something. I mean, I don't want to be so graphic, but it was like that. It was tough. And so for anybody listening, if you have children in these times, because I'm going to give you all some tips, please put them in a karate class, a self-defense class, some kind of class to where they gain that inner strength and that insight as far as who they are and their potential, you know, to, they can be strong. They can just teach a person a lesson. They don't have to try to kill them or anything, but just let them know, I'm not the one to be messed with. I'm not the one you're going to bully, you know. And when I taught my son and daughter, they both did not get bullied in school. My son, he's, you know, his own person. He's quiet, you know, humble, very polite, mannerisms are on point, but he does not get bullied. He's actually the most popular child in the school. You know, he walks with his head up, you know, different things that I've done with him. You have to role play with your children, because this world is not kind. Let's face it. Let's face it. And there's been suicides after suicides and children hurting themselves and things like that. And my purpose is to get the word out that there's still people that care. But also we have to put our caring in action. It's not enough for me to just say, oh, that's a shame. You know, I've been in the trenches for years. I've worked with people from every aspect, not just in the hospice. I've worked for people in psychiatric wards. I was setting the captives free. I was helping them. They were coming back to their right minds. They were talking. I'll give you another example. There was Miss White. Her real name's not Miss White, but just for purposes, I'm going to say Miss White. And she was on the wall. This is in the psychiatric ward. And she would just rock back and forth. It looked like a clinic. You know how they try to dress it up, but it still was a mental hospital. And she's rocking back and forth. And then she's like, you know, unkept and things like that. And I would go past her. And I'm, you know, they called me the model social worker because the place was so dark. When I say dark, I cannot even really express how dark that place was. And it wasn't just the lights were, you know, dim. It was just the energy was so dark. And I would go in there, and I'm dressing up, you know, because just in darkness, I always wear bright colors. I literally will wear a rainbow around me if I have to, because you have to repel that darkness that's surrounding you. You know, it's not enough to say, okay, I'm just going to go in here and do my job and that's it. No, you're dealing with all kinds of spirits in there. You're dealing with all kinds of energy, and you have to be prayed up and also shielded, you know, to protect yourself, because you don't want to take those demonic spirits outside that door with you or at home when you get to busting at people and all this kind of things. It's like if anybody knows the or seen the movie Fallen and how those spirits go from one person to the other, that's how they actually work. They when they go back and forth. Transfer onto someone else. And that's how they do it. So you have to be ready. So within this podcast, you're going to hear some insight. You're going to hear some information. You're going to hear some real stories that have happened to myself and other people. Also, you're going to be inspired. Also, you're going to be able to take some nuggets of the information and apply it to your own life. You understand? We're not going to be on a team where we're not winning. We're going to be winning, and we're going to take our lives back and find greatness within ourselves. We're not looking to anyone for no approval, because it's not that kind of party. It's time to find out who you are, purpose of your life, what you're supposed to do in your life, and what you enjoy doing in your life that can make a difference. You know, I have a friend, she can take anything, any material, any beads, and make creations out of this world. She knows how to do it without a problem, but her thing is she doesn't see it herself yet. It has to be a light that comes on, and she can say, oh, I can do this, and I can bless somebody else while getting blessed herself. You know, like me, I love to talk to clients or people on the street that are just out there wandering, or so many people here in the city that I'm in, they, you know, were talking to themselves. I came here 19 years ago, and I would just, you know, ask the Lord, how can I reach them? I mean, because at first I'm, you know, my transportation now is the bus, but I would be in a car and I'm driving past and I'm seeing someone trying to throw the sun or, you know, hollering out loud and things like that. And I said to God, I said, my God, you know, how can I reach them? But at first I was like, look at those, you know, people, you know, they're just walking and talking, and it's a shame, you know. And I wasn't judging. I was just thinking, wow, this is not right. But I wasn't doing anything. And when I lost my car, you know, to circumstances beyond my control, I had to go and use the transportation at the transit center that you know, everybody here goes to. And people still walking around talking to themselves, and just it was horrible. It really was. And that's how my ministry came about. I started talking to people who were talking to themselves, and I just strike up a conversation, and they, one time, and this right here tears me up each and every time. There was a guy, he was in the bus stop shelter, you know, where they have to keep you out the rain. They have the shelters there. And he's rocking back and forth, and he's talking to himself. And now he could be on another frequency that I don't even know of, you know. But he's going back and forth. And then I said, how can I touch him, God? Because each time, my ministry is so, customized. Because I was out there in the streets. I wasn't always in the church. I was raised in a religious setting, but that wasn't me. You know, I wanted to be free. I wanted to help people. You know, I get sad if I saw a homeless person, want my mom to stop the car so we could feed them. And, you know, that kind of stuff. I've always had a heart for people. And so this guy, he's rocking back and forth. And I'm waving. Just out of the blue, I just start waving. And I'm waving at him. And he stands up and he looks at me. He comes out and he's peeking around because I'm waiting for the bus on the outside. And he says, you can see me? And I say, yeah, I can see you. And he's like, oh, wow, wow. And in this world, in this society, people have been so neglected and ignored, they don't even think they can be seen. They feel invisible. they feel invisible. And I'm talking from experience, you know, being homeless. I'm talking from experience. You know, you feel invisible. And I didn't dress like I was homeless or you didn't was without. You know, I came in a shelter at one time in my life. It's been several times, but one experience was that all I had was a black short sleeve shirt and black jeans. And it was fall. The snow was on the ground. And the boots that I had, they were like ankle boots, but they were had holes in them. Just one outfit. One. And thank God for the donations. I kid you not. When you send those donations, they help. They help you get a job interview. They helped me, you know, with my self-esteem, with me being, motivated to get up. You know, I mean, it was bad. But I went through that dark experience and I came out, thank you, Lord, like sunshine. You wouldn't even know I went through it, you know. And as I was, you know, saying that we can do better. As individuals, as the world, we not only can, but we got to do better. You know, I've personally dedicated my life to helping people. I enjoy people. I love them. My little people, the children, and everything. Every aspect or area of helping, I have been in the schools. I've been in the tutoring. I've been in psychoeducation wards with the teenagers. I've been working with, you know, children and adults. I just love it. And I know that now that's my purpose. I thought it was just the social work aspect, but it's not only that, it's the fact of just everyday living. Because to me, the church is within us. I don't have to go in a building. I've been known to pray for people in a bathroom in the, you know, middle of downtown because there's such a need. Because if we don't reach them, you think it's crazy now? It's going to be worse than Wild Wild West. We're going to be, you know, running from some of everything. And I'm not even exaggerating. So I don't believe that nothing can be done. I always believe in hope. I believe in hope. And that's why I'm on here. You know, maybe something I said can encourage somebody else to live through the next day. Maybe something I said can encourage somebody else to get up out of depression. Maybe something I said can get somebody some help for drinking alcohol and all they know is being high or on some kind of drug and all they know is trying to escape. And they're gifted. And they're covering up their pain but don't even realize that they have a purpose. I'm going to say that again. They are covering up their pain but don't even realize they have a purpose. So we that know that what is going on can be changed. In certain areas, I believe it can be changed. And I always say to myself, well, Jeannie, is it faith or is it foolishness? And sometimes you got to look foolish. Like God said, you know, you look foolish to the wise. And sometimes I believe that I've had to have some foolish experiences because I see things that other people can't. And then I got to share with them what I see and they don't get it. They might get it a year from now. You see? So it's just a matter of knowing who you are and whose you are. And then there's people there like, oh, well, I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in God. Okay. Well, and I always tell them, well, you know, you can believe in a dirt speck. But just make sure dirt speck saves your soul. And they get to laugh. And they're like, oh, Jeannie, you're so funny. And I'm serious. Because all this titles and religion and names and things like that, when it really comes down to it, who do you have to go to? You know, you can go to your friend only so long. And the last one standing is you. You know, so then that's where you have to get these life skills. That's where you have to get these being assured of who you are and taking back your life, taking back whoever and whatever stole it from you and living a life that you can be proud of, you know, that you can can look back and say, wow, I did that. I did that. I overcame poverty, overcame my mentality of thinking I'm a thug or thinking that I'm better than the next person or thinking that there's no life without me having to have the latest Gucci or material item. But I came alone. I came alone to receive something that's going to change my life. And I'm going to do another curve on you all. I don't believe that the church building is the church. I believe that we, those that are spiritual, having a human experience, are the church, that God is within us. Now, this is my belief. This is not a come to Jesus moment or anything like that. I'm not trying to sway you one way or the other. I'm just stating my truth and what I've experienced. And y'all, I am so happy. I've never experienced this kind of happiness. I mean, there's joy and then there's straight up happiness. And I'm just so happy. I'm finding myself smiling when I don't even be wanting to. I'll find something, you know, to be happy and thankful about. And it gets to that point. It gets to that point. As far as me being afraid, not anymore. Not anymore. And I'm not even lying to you. Not anymore. I had to take my life back. And if it took going, you know, toe-to-toe with those pit bulls, then so be it. You know, if it takes me stepping in the way of somebody trying to harm somebody, then so be it. Because I really feel like I've had a full life, a really full life. Now, you know, I'm a grandma. I got two grandbabies, two girls. I have a 12-year-old son and a 19-year-old daughter. You know, and I've always wanted to be a mother. I love children. I absolutely love them. And I counseled children from my earliest and youngest client was one. Yep, 1 year old. And the other client that I had was two. And the other one, you know, I did home business and worked with the child because he was failure to thrive. He wouldn't, you know, his development stages were not up to where they should have been. You know, he wasn't being communicated to, and I had to, you know, I taught the parents how to communicate and stimulate him because they called it like failure to thrive. And I got him together. He was so quiet that his parents would leave him for going on a trip. They were going out of town and they left him. And not only when they got to the town, they forgot that they left him because he was so quiet. They had four other children, and he would sit and he would play with hours. He would play with a fly swatter. So for hours, he's playing with the fly swatter, and they had called me from the school and said they needed a social worker to come and assess him. And I assessed him, and he, like they said, would be in the corner, and he's playing with his shirt, and he's biting on his shirt and things like that, not making a sound at all. He wouldn't look at anybody. He had his eyes downcast. He wouldn't speak at all. So I made it my point to help him. And as the class is going on, and the kids, they were, you know, they go around him and things like that, and he'd be in his own world. And so one day when I went to talk to his mom, and I asked her, I said, which is a very important question, I said, was there anything that happened while you were pregnant carrying him? And she said, yeah. She said, I aborted him. So in my mind, I'm like, you aborted him? And she's like, yeah. And she wasn't going to go into details. And as I sat there, I said, oh, was he a twin? And she's like, yeah, he was a twin. And she said, I did everything in my power not to have him. And so I was like, it clicked. I said, wow. So first of all, he's love deprived. He's not getting the stimulation and bonding with his mother. And she said, out of all my kids, I have not bonded with him. And he would just sit there like a robot. I said, okay, I got me an assignment to do. So I would go visit the mom and I'm talking to her and things like that. And also, when you are in social work and aspects of helping, it's not just the child that you have to work with. You also have to work with the whole family. So they'll be able to know how to raise that child in a healthier, you know, environment and everything. You know, so I have to keep that in mind every time. I'm like, okay, it's the child, but it's also the whole family. So what it ended up happening was I would go to the school and everybody's playing and he would be sitting, you know, in the corner rocking or something like that. It was the saddest sight to see. And I remember I got on the rug with him and I said, sweetheart, you know, I'll call him James. And I'm like, James, you got to come out of this, sweetie. I said, you know, it's okay. You're going to be safe, but you got to come up out of this. I said, Miss Jeannie is fighting for you. You know, I said, I know you're in there. So the teacher's doing working at the table station with the kids, and they're doing the crayons and things like that. So I got a can of crayons, and they're looking at me like, why do you need the crayons? And I'm like, this boy's going to talk. That's my faith. Now, either it was foolishness or faith, but I was like, he's going to be talking, and he's going to be responding. And so day one, I got the crayon, and I'm like, James, you know, what is this? What is this? Like that. And he's not saying anything. He's just looking. Next day, I'm like, James, what color is this? What color is this? Come on now, you got this. What color is this? He didn't say anything. The third day, I said, what color is this? He said, blue. I said, you talked? I get so excited. I'm like a big kid. I'm like, you just talked? Ah. So the kids got up clapping. The teacher got up clapping. I said, oh my God, you know, found your voice. And from that point on, you know, I would work with them. And then in my career, I've always had to say my highs and my goodbyes. And at first, it would crush me because I'm like, wow, I got attached to the clients and things like that, you know. And then I said, no, I made a difference in their lives through the grace of God. I made a difference in their lives so they can handle this world now, you know. So that's the type of mentality that I have. So I just wanted to share, you know, some of the stories and my part of who I am and what I'm about and advocating for justice and people being kind to each other. And if I see anything wrong, I'm going to speak on it. And you know what? I'm still that little girl that wouldn't even talk. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, and I kid myself sometimes. I said, maybe I wasn't talking because I was saving myself for this moment in my life. You know, so I thank you all for listening. We're going to have another podcast, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful because we're going to do more aspects of changing ourselves for the better. So whatever area that you want to address, please leave a message. Please let them know on Anchor that you like the podcast, that you are willing to listen to Jeannie Lee and, you know, hear her stories. Now, I got to admit, some of them they're crushing. Some of them are, how in the world did you make it through that? Some of them are, wow, that's amazing. But out of all of it, I would say it's insightful. You're going to learn. You're going to have to unlearn some things, and you're just going to grow. And it's nothing wrong with change. And I found this out, it's nothing wrong with growing. You got to be your best self because you got one body and you got one chance to live in this life. And make the best out of it. Make the best out of it. Take care of your health, your mind, your attitude. Some people need attitude adjustments. Beautiful people, just hateful, just mean-spirited. You know, and that's from even the churches on out to the streets. And this is what I was going to finally say. I believe that those that were battered, those that were abused, those that had no voice, and even through childhood, they had to survive to get to where they are. And those definitely in the street, they're going to start coming to themselves because this time is now. The awakening is here. The paradigm shift is here. They're going to start waking up and taking their place on this earth. And Satan's going to have hell to pay because these are night fighters. These are the ones that have been through darkness all of their lives. And now they're waking up and saying, wait a minute, you're not going to talk to me like this. Hey, wait a minute, you're not going to treat me like this. I know you didn't just say that. You know, they're waking up to reality as I do have a voice. I can fend for myself. I'm not that name that you called me. I'm a queen. I'm not that name that you said to me in such hate. I'm a king. You know, I'm not going to, God forbid, but kill myself because you don't like me. I like me. No matter of fact, I love me. How about that? You know, so sticking there for the ride, you know, understand that these are some serious times, that a lot of people are saying these are the last days and things like that. But realize that you got a part to play. And as long as we ignore and pretend like things aren't happening, that's when it gets the worst. That's when people really get crazy. You know, let me give you this example before I get off of this podcast, because I'm enjoying myself, y'all. I was on the bus, because I told you all this is my transportation for now, and this guy just comes on, and he says, I feel like killing somebody. And I could sit there as a victim. I could sit there looking scared. I could look, you know, like I was talking about, you know, fear and being fearless and being fearless, you know, putting it all together. And I had absolutely no kind of anxiety, worries, or fear at all. Now, this man just threatened the whole bus. And he said it in my face. Like, you know how a person going past and they got to put their face in your face. And I said, cool. You know what? I just strategically took out from my purse my taser and put it on my lap. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready on all levels. And y'all going to learn that. And he came to his right mind. He sat up straight because he saw that taser. You know, sometimes, and I'm not a crazy person, but you have to be crazy for crazy to meet crazy. So crazy or no, crazy can't do you any harm, you know. And I had to go there. I had to go there. And a lot of times, you know, especially when I was walking, men would try to follow me and cars would be circling around and things like that. And I'm not alone, you know, without God and Jesus, my angels and them. But I also believe in protecting myself. You know, like I said, I know both sides. I've been from the streets, went to religious church, and then my older years rebelled against God and went back out in the streets. So I know both sides. You know what I mean? I know how to handle myself. And I thank God for that, because I could walk around like I used to with my head down, shoulders shrunken, and being afraid of my shadow. But I refuse to. I refuse to. The devil will not get victory in my life. You know, so it's personal. So if you hear me talking about spiritual warfare and things like that, that's me. That's Jeannie. That's me, because I wasn't taught. I was taught there was an enemy, but we were not taught how to fight the enemy. Now, for those that are interested, I will be doing a podcast on spiritual warfare. I will be giving examples, thorough examples, and also tips in how to fight, and also my personal experiences. My personal experience. And I just want to say, I thank God that I'm here to be able to share. I'm here. He took me through a lot and held me through the nights, but I'm glad, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to talk to you guys. So, again, I'm going to close out, but thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, morning, day, whatever time it is. Know that you don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. I've been there. I've been in those midnight hours wondering if I was going to make it to the next day. But I'm here. I'm here, and so are you. And if there's a battle you're going through, or somebody's coming for you or something like that, stand up for the fight. Stand up for the fight. Because the God I serve, I know one thing. He don't let me be alone. I know that. And he doesn't let you, whether you know it or not. He doesn't let you be alone either. So take courage. Maintain your positivity. Those of you who are walking around with your head down, put your head up. Put your shoulders straight. Walk through this earth like you own it. Walk through this world like you're going for something. Don't give the enemy any type of insight as to what you're about at your lowest moment. You ain't got to fake it. But walk as strong as they do. if not stronger. And I mean that. Okay, this is Jeannie, and I'm signing off. I hope something in this podcast gave you all some insight, some encouragement, some laughter, all of that in a bag of chips, as they used to say. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, night, evening. And even if you're in the midnight hours, know that you will not be in it too long, that this too shall pass. I'll be over here praying for you, so I hope you're on the other side of the world praying for me or wherever you might be located. Thank you so much. Stay blessed. Bye. Signing out. Black Eagles Soaring. Bye-bye.